continue our counselor series, and we're talking about faith this month, about the faith that we need to have, the faith that God affords each of us to move mountains, to bring about change, and the fact that God responds to obedient faith. He responds powerfully to our belief and our actions that align with that belief, and he reacts. He makes a change. His heart is moved by it. In this series, we focus on the idea that Jesus asked over 100 questions during his ministry, and we're looking at four of them. First week on the 29th, we asked, for those who need a miracle, Jesus asked, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that even though you can't see the outcome, Jesus has the power, the ability. God is there for us in the midst of that. Have we tried everything else? Have we done all the things this world has to offer and no change? Do we need a miracle in our lives? Last week, those of us in a storm, those of us going through a difficult time, a trial in our lives, Jesus asked the question, why are you so afraid, to his disciples? And we realize that Jesus is always with us, even in the midst of a trial. And we need to realize that Jesus is with us and he has not abandoned us. And also, even through the midst of a trial, we need to understand that God can use that to grow us and to minister to other people. Next week, we'll look at those with spiritual doubts. And when Jesus asks the question very pointedly, why do you doubt? And today we're going to focus on problems that persist. Persistent issues that we may have struggled with for months, for years, for a long amount of time. This is something it doesn't flare up and then it goes away. Well, maybe it's been flaring up for many, many years. Not something, an injury that you receive, not healing for that, or faith to believe in that, or a job that you just want to, having a rough time in your job right now and you just can't stand someone at work. Today we're focusing on a problem or an issue that is ongoing. Today I want you to listen to this message through the lens of maybe headaches that won't go away. You've had this struggle for years and the headaches keep reoccurring, coming back. Or maybe another medical issue. It's been over and over again. And it doesn't just come and then you're good for a while, but it's persistently all the time. There's always this fear. There's always this issue in the back of your head. Maybe it's depression. It just doesn't go away. You can't fight it. There are some days you don't want to get out of bed because of this depression you're dealing with. Maybe it's overeating or overspending or overcommitting. You tell yourself, oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things differently. And yet you still fall easily back into this trap, spreading yourself too thin. Or overexerting yourself when you need to take some time to rest. Maybe it's a real addiction that follows you around. Something truly life-controlling in your life. You can't get past it and you don't know how tomorrow will come. Maybe you've learned to deal with it, but still it's there. Or maybe it's a relationship issue. Something ongoing. Jesus asked the question today that we'll be focusing on. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And today our message is really very practical in nature. We're going to outline some challenges and difficulties in those that have struggled with a long-term issue, a long-term struggle. And then we're going to look at very practically the passage that we're studying today in John chapter 5. And we're going to look at what happened in this situation and how we can relate that to our own. If you turn in your Bibles today, if you have them, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Once again, it will be on the screen to follow along. John chapter 5 says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Now, how many of you in your Bibles have a little annotation there? It says number 4, but there's nothing that follows it, and it moves right on to verse 5. Anybody have that in their Bibles? Okay, verse 4 is classically omitted in most translations. And the reason is that John 5:4 is not found in any of the earliest and most accurate manuscripts of the Bible. They omit it. It's left out. It's not in the Bible. But scholars who make a career of comparing manuscripts have discovered that in roughly 24 manuscripts, scribes who included verse 4 about this angel who stirs up the water had put an asterisk to alert the next scribe not to copy, or this portion of scripture, this verse, is doubtful. We don't know when this idea was added in, but this was a Jewish superstition that happened back in those days, that an angel would stir up this water, and the idea was the first person in would get healed. The Bible never mentions if anyone actually got healed or not. That part is never mentioned, so we don't know if people actually got healed from this pool, but people came from all around in that day and age to get healed because they believed this idea, this superstition, that an angel would be in there stirring up the water, just with his giant angel ladle, mixing up the water, and then people would jump in. The first person in would get healed. Another thing that, but this is a myth, this is a superstition back in those days, and it's never been confirmed. And so many scribes, because they have asterisked it, marked it out, and said this is not reliable, we have left it out of many of modern translations because it's not consistent with what was actually important. Either way, it's not, the verse 4 doesn't change anything in our passage today. All right? Another thing, just in case you're curious, 4 of the 5 Greek words that are found in verse 4 in here were never used by John in any other part of his passages. And so it seems very evident, this idea, that this was added later in after John wrote his gospel in chapter 5. So we come to this gate, or this pool, Bethesda, and people are sitting all around, and they're waiting for this supposed angel to stir up the waters. They're longing to be healed. They're longing to be made well in this pool. As soon as they see the swirls, as soon as they hear the bubbles, they're in there. They want to try to get into the water as fast as they can. And a great number of disabled people, our passage says, came to this pool. They all had the same intention, the same desire. We'll keep reading verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. I haven't been on this planet for 38 years, so I can't even understand what that means. 38 years he's been sick, unable to walk. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him the question, "Do you want to be well?" What an insulting question. What a condescending question, right? Hey, lame man by the side of a pool, obviously longing to be healed with everyone else. Do you want to be well? That's like asking a poor man, hey, do you want $1 million? It's like asking a hungry man, do you want a buffet? You know, the answer is always yes, okay? I want a buffet. But It's this strange question that Jesus asks him, do you want to be well? And we're going to look at that further down the road and talk a little bit why we think Jesus may have asked this question, because it seems like a silly question, right? Well, let's read on verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said this to him, powerful, powerful words, get up, simple enough, pick up your mat and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You see, in this passage today, a moment, a single moment in the presence of Jesus changed everything for this man. A single moment bumping into Jesus at this pool changed everything for this man. And maybe you are here today and you've been struggling for a long time. You desire relief. You desire healing. You desire respite from this thing that has plagued you, and you fear that you may never be free of it. Today, this message is for you. Today, our message is going to look at challenges that come at us when we have this long, ongoing issue, and then how we can respond the way Jesus responds and the way this invalid responds. Today, we're going to examine three challenges for a persistent problem. Three challenges that are affecting all of us who may be dealing with an ongoing struggle, this ongoing issue. First one is that the longer it persists, the longer this challenge persists, the more discouraged we become. The invalid in our passage today, he sat there by the water for 38 years. It doesn't even say that he was 38 years old. It just said that he had been coming there. He had been inflicted with this ailment, this crippling ailment for 38 years. Maybe this morning you've prayed about this thing for a while. Whatever it is has been afflicting you. You've prayed about it, but nothing happened. You tried what you thought might help it, but nothing worked. And so over these years, over these months, however long it's been going on, you've become discouraged, depressed. There's this downcast spirit on you because this thing does not seem to go away. You tried to work on your marriage. You've prayed about it. You've even been amicable. You've gone to church together. You've prayed together. You've prayed for your spouse, and still your marriage is still bad. And years later, you think maybe, you know what, I don't think anything's going to help. You've prayed about your physical problems, and you've went to a doctor, and then another doctor, and then another doctor, and a doctor after that. You've prayed some more. You've never gotten better. Nothing got better, and so you've become discouraged and think, maybe this is just what God has for me. Maybe you're tired this morning. You feel like you can't change. Nothing's getting better. Nothing has changed for so many months, so many years. Nothing's changed. And so you've accepted your fate. You said, well, maybe this is it. You see, the difficult thing about a persistent problem, one that goes and goes and doesn't seem to stop, has no end in sight, is you become discouraged. You allow this thing in your life to take your eyes off of the healer, the one who has all things in his power, who has all healing set aside for us. The second challenge, is that the longer this challenge persists, the more excuses you make. The truth is, ultimately, you think it's going to make you feel better if you're able to put the blame somewhere else. Ultimately, I'm going to feel better if I'm able to take the blame for whatever's happening and put it somewhere else. This guy, he said, sir, I have no one to help me in the pool. He said, the reason I'm not healed, he's saying, the excuse that he's giving is because no one's here to help me. And so because of that, here I am, 38 years later, just going to accept my fate. I have no one to help me in the pool. When the water is stirred, people run by me. There are deaf people that can run and they just dive in the pool. They want to be first. In 38 years, he couldn't walk. But maybe he could have rolled. Maybe he could have scooted. Maybe he could have, you know, I don't know, inchwormed a little bit. I don't know. He built up his arm strength over 38 years to crawl himself closer to that pool. Maybe he could have tumbled or flopped a little bit. I don't know how bad his invalidness was. Maybe he could have found some way to act upon the faith that he believed. He believed in this water. Of course, that was probably misplaced from off the start, right? But maybe he could have found a way to put his actions in the direction of where his faith was also. You understand what I'm saying? His faith was so strong in this direction. I think the reason he's been there for 38 years, the reason he made this excuse is because he had given up. That discouragement is very real. That depression, I'm sure, was very real in his life. And so the first thing he says is, no, the reason I'm not healed is because no one's carrying me. He starts making excuses. My husband won't change. It's just the way he is. I've tried everything. I've prayed my whole life, but it's just the way he is. I can't get a good job. I don't have a good degree. I don't have time to exercise. I tried counseling. I tried medication. I guess it's just not for me. We start making excuses when we have these persistent problems. And it's natural. It's not healthy. But it's natural to do that. But we start justifying everything that's going wrong and saying, maybe this is the reason, or, oh, this won't change, this won't happen, this never changed, this never happened. And so we begin to just accept our fate. You see, the longer it persists, we become discouraged, we make excuses, and thirdly, we learn to compensate. We learn to compensate. There are many people in this world that basically live their lives as functional alcoholics. They realize they drink too much. They may even acknowledge that they have a problem, but they've learned to manage it. They've learned to taper themselves off so they can still function in society, to have a tolerance so they can still function in society. But there's a problem there. There's still an issue. A dysfunctional marriage works very much the same way. You've realized, hey, there's an issue, there's this compatibility issue, there's a selfish issue in our relationship, but we're going to make it work. We're going to put a smile on for the kids. We're going to make it through and just smile and nod, even though there's very real glaring issues in what I'm in my relationship. And so you've just learned to make it work. Last week we talked about hiding under that smile, hiding behind the smile, even though there is a storm going on in your life. It's the very same thing. Maybe another addiction in your life. You've learned how to not get caught. You've learned how to be discreet. You've learned how to not go too far. And so you're managing. You say, oh, it doesn't control me. Maybe it's not an addiction. But maybe it's something that it is still an issue. It's still a very big heart problem for you, and you can't get away from it. Maybe it's living beyond your means. You're saying, oh, I can stop spending whenever I want. Maxing out your credit cards. It looks so good on the outside. People might think, oh, they've got it together. They've got it all figured out. They have a great life. But inside you're saying, well, I'm struggling to get by. I can't afford to pay off my bills, and I just can't stop shopping. It's a real issue. People don't know, and if they don't know, they don't really care, because you figured out how to manage around it, and you're highly functioning, even though you may have a significant addiction. You may not even like your circumstances that you're in. You may not even like where you're at. You say, I don't really like where I'm at, but at least I can control it. At least it's familiar to me. You're used to them. You can manage them. So in this challenge, this persistent problem, you become discouraged. You begin to make excuses, and you can even compensate and say, I'm just going to work around it. I'm just going to deal with what I have. It's not a big deal, and you don't actually desire change. Hear this morning. You cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. You cannot change what you are willing to tolerate. If you're tolerating it, that means you don't have the faith, or you're not exercising the faith to believe that God can change your circumstances. And if you don't have that faith to believe in that, God may not be moved, because we know that powerful, bold faith moves the heart of God. And I think this morning, I think maybe that's why Jesus asked, "Do you want to be well?" I think that's why Jesus asked that question, "Do you want to be well?" It wasn't just a stupid question. It wasn't just an obvious question or a rhetorical question. He was trying to pull out this idea, "Do you want help?" He knew he needed help, right? Jesus knew the man needed help. He was obviously brought a mat because he didn't want to just lay on the pavement. He brought a mat so he's at least a little comfortable there. And he was trying to get into the water. He knew everyone at that pool needed help. But he asked, "Do you want help? Do you want to be well?" You know, it's very difficult to help someone who needs help when they don't want help. Have you found that to be true in your life? It's difficult to help someone who needs help but doesn't want it. If there's someone who wants help, guess what? They're going to ask for it. They're going to be open and available to it. And they're going to say, "I want your help. Help me, please." But there are many people out there whose pride holds them back from that. And maybe pride holds you back from wanting help, asking help from God. Maybe you say, "I can handle it on my own. I've got it. I can manage it. See, God, I can put up with it." And God says, "Just ask me for help. Just ask." Maybe he's asking you this morning, "Do you want to be well?" What do you think the biggest hindrance, what would you say the biggest hindrance of faith is? Emmett, what do you think? I confused him. Many of you would say worry. Many of you say would doubt or fear. And those definitely hamper and hinder what God would like to do with our faith, how God wants to grow our faith. But really the biggest enemy, I would say to you this morning, is the familiar. The biggest enemy of faith is the familiar. Accepting what is, accepting the state that you are currently in for what could be. Accepting that diagnosis for what God has maybe in store for your healing in the future. Accepting the condition and the state of your relationship where God has something even greater planned for you. Accepting the condition of your health when God may have a healing waiting in store. The guy could have said, "I've always been able to walk, unable to walk. I've always been unable to walk. I guess that's just who I am. I guess that's just the way it's going to be." And he could have just sat there. He could have went home. All right. That's it. He at least had some motivation to, someone would get him to the pool every day where he would sit there. Maybe you say, "I've always struggled financially. Guess that's just the way it is. My parents struggled financially. I'm going to struggle financially. I guess that's just the way it has to be. I've always been an average student." Maybe you say, "I've always dated the wrong type of people. Maybe I've always had a bad relationship with my dad. Maybe I've always had these spiritual doubts. I guess that's just my lot in life. I guess maybe that's what I'm cut out for." The familiar is always the greatest enemy of faith. The familiar is always the greatest enemy. "This is what I know. This is what I've always known. So here I am." Maybe God's saying to you today, "Do you want to be made well?" Some of us have been in that familiar place for so long, we haven't even asked for help lately. We haven't been able to pray big, bold prayers of faith because we thought, "Yeah, I can handle it. I can put up with it. I can live life just like this." It's very easy to do with Bethany and I and our pregnancy. Just to accept the doctor's diagnosis as final and say, "Oh, this stinks. We're gonna pray, but I guess that's it. You know, we gotta We just got to hope. Bethany had an ultrasound this past Wednesday. We went to the OB and checked it out, and we were a little nervous, weren't sure what to expect. And we went in there, and they're moving the goop around on her belly and stuff, and saying we could see the baby, we could hear the heartbeat. She was moving around like crazy in there, wouldn't stand still. They had a really hard time getting measurements because she just kept moving around, which is just so amazing to understand, and just the idea, you know, there's a tiny creature inside of her. Anyway, but so we're there, and we get done, and of course the tech isn't allowed to tell you anything. They're just there to do the ultrasound. We have to wait on the doctor. So we get in we're in the same room. They didn't even move us, and the doctor came in, and the first thing he said, so the cystic hygroma is gone. We can't see it anymore. And that was the thing that was threatening the baby's life most of all. This cystic hygroma, this patch of cyst, this fluid down the baby's back. And he said, well, we can't see it. All the measurements are fine. She seems to be perfectly healthy. And we are humbled and excited by your prayers on our behalf. Our faith has grown times 25 that day. I'm believing for a full and complete healing. Don't stop praying. The doctor said the chance of Down syndrome because of the blood work is still there, but my faith is bigger than blood work. And I am believing if it's not changed already, those chromosomes will be right by the time we have our baby girl. And we will know more of the next ultrasound and that sort of thing. But it would be so easy to have just accepted that diagnosis and said, this is it. But I know for me specifically, when I was at men's conference a couple weeks ago, God encouraged me to pray big, bold prayers and to not hold back, to have the faith to believe in complete healing, and at the same time to pray God's will and to accept what He has in store for us. But to not let that limit my prayer life, to not let that hold back as an excuse, but to pray beyond what we can ask or think, because we serve a God that can give us what we can ask or think. And in such a short, it blows my mind, in such a short time frame. We announced 2 weeks ago, was it last week? Last week. No, 2 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago. And now, 2 weeks later, to be at this appointment, and the biggest prayer on our list is checked off. God has done a miracle. If that doesn't encourage you this morning, check your pulse. God can do amazingly and wonderfully beyond all we can. For short-term problems, for long-term problems, God's power is there. We need to reach out and say, God, help me. I want help. Stop managing your problem on your own. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Step away from the familiar. This is the way it's always been. Believe for something greater. Now, faith is such a tricky subject to handle. It's such a tricky topic because faith isn't a magic button. God is not a genie. And faith doesn't just push this magic button and all of a sudden, poof. And yet He wants us to believe that way. He wants us to believe and have the faith to believe that that can happen. You see, I believe this morning that when we have faith to believe and pray big prayers, when we have faith to step out of that comfort zone, believe in what we cannot see, which is the definition of what faith is, and we align our actions, whether that's our prayers, whether that's the decisions we make, if we align our actions and say, God, I am believing you in this, and I'm going to walk in a way, I'm going to do the things in wisdom on this earth that you will honor, I believe God's heart is moved and God will change things. This morning, healing may not begin until your desire is bigger than your disability. Some of you have accepted your fate, accepted your lot in life, and you need to say, God, I don't accept this anymore. When I was at my And when I was at my previous church, my previous pastorate as a kids pastor, I was kind of like, for a few years, I was like, God, is this all the ministry you have for me? Is this what I'm just going to do? Not just kids ministry, but just the quality of the ministry and the type of stuff we were doing. I wasn't always satisfied with where God, but I've also always been the type of person that just says, all right, you know, all right, so be it. I'm just going to deal with it. I'm just going to handle it. I'm just going to be content. And about 2 years before I came here, God challenged me to pray a prayer of discontentment. He challenged me to pray a prayer that said, if this isn't for me, make me discontent. Because for me, that was the biggest sign. If I wasn't content, there's probably a big sign that God has something different, there is change coming. And God put in my heart discontentment. I was no longer content with where I was at, with what I was doing. And you know, I didn't know what God had in store for me. All I knew was this beacon. Maybe you're in your life and you need to pray a prayer of discontentment and say, I don't want to just get by with this anymore. I don't want to get by in the familiar. I want to take steps that say I have faith beyond what I'm used to and I need a change. Do you really want to be out of debt? Because some of you, shopping is your drug of choice. You may say you want it, but your actions do not say it. Do you really want to overcome the addiction that has held you hostage? Some people are more comfortable in the known, even though it's uncomfortable. They're more comfortable saying, all right, this is what it's like to be in this prison. It's still prison, but at least I know what it's like to be here, right? Do you really want to find healing in your relationship, in your body? Do you really want to be made well? This morning we need to pray big, bold prayers. Jesus is in your boat. He's right there with you. He's been there with you all along. What actions are you taking that align with the faith that you have? We need to remember that the storm that you're in, no matter how long the storm has been going, it can make you stronger. God can use it to build you up. But ultimately, and this is key, throughout these 3 weeks that we've talked so far, we need to have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith. We need to have a faith like the three boys thrown into the fiery furnace to say, even if he doesn't, we will still worship him. And I think that's the most powerful thing. So, because even if he doesn't, we need to have the faith to believe that he will and the firmness to believe that even if he doesn't, I will still follow him. Even if it doesn't change tomorrow, God is still a God that can do it. Even if it doesn't change next week, God is still a God that can do it, and he is the one that I serve. Even if he doesn't, I will still trust him. Even if it doesn't work, but we need to have the faith that it will. We need to believe, pray big, bold prayers, but also pray God's will and say, God, ultimately, I'm going to be okay with your will in my life. But I believe you can change things. I believe you can make that lame man walk. I believe that you can change my disease, heal my relationship, free me of this addiction. Verses 8 to 9 in this passage, Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. What was his original problem? When Jesus asked him, what's going on? What did he say? He said, no one will help me into the water. Did Jesus solve his problem? Did Jesus levitate him into the water when it was stirred? Did Jesus even physically pick him up and help him into the water? Notice three things this morning as we close. The sick guy didn't even ask to be healed. The guy didn't even ask to be healed. He said, what's your issue? He didn't say, my legs don't work. Jesus asked him, what is your issue? And he said, no one's going to carry me. I can't get to the water. You see, Jesus knows your issue even better than you do. Jesus knows your problem and he knows the solution even better than you and I. Our image, our picture is limited to this right here, the physical. But Jesus can see beyond that. He knows that our answer may come in a form we may not expect. Firstly, he didn't even ask to be healed. Secondly, he didn't earn it or deserve it. He didn't say, "My faith is in you, Jesus. Jesus, I know you can heal me." He was healed despite that. He was still under the influence of this Jewish superstition about the angel stirring up the water. That's where his faith was in. His faith was in this water. His faith was in the pool. And so we understand that he didn't get healed because he was good. He got healed because Jesus is good. He didn't get healed because he is good. The man got healed because Jesus is good. Even when we don't have the faith, Jesus can still do a miracle. Do you believe that this morning? Even when our faith is insufficient, when it's not enough, Jesus can still work powerfully in our life. We understand that faith moves the heart of God, but even when we fall short, the heart of God still desires for us to be well. The heart of God still can do work. And thirdly, lastly, the healing didn't happen in the way he thought it would. Jesus did for the man what he didn't even ask Jesus to do. Healing didn't come through the water. He looked here, he looked there for a solution. He looked everywhere, and that's not where the healing came. For 38 years, he looked for a solution. He looked around, he looked wherever he was at. He did everything, not everything he could. He could have inchwormed. We've made that clear, okay? But he looked, waited at that water. He waited at the pool. And when the water bubbled, he hoped to get in. I don't know what he expected. But eventually he became discouraged. The longer it persisted, the more discouraged, the more excuses he made. But here's the cool thing. The longer something persists, the longer you endure with this challenge, this issue, the more glory you're going to give to God when he heals you. The longer you've endured, the longer you've gone through this, the more glory God is going to get, because nothing man could have done could have healed this ongoing issue. Maybe doctors have told you this is what you have to live with. You're just going to have to be careful. You're just going to have to do this. God may say no. And he will get all the glory. He'll change your thought processes in ways you didn't even know were dysfunctional. He will bring healing and forgiveness into your heart, areas you didn't even know you were sick. Jesus is saying this to the man. Jesus basically said, "I don't want to hear your excuse. I want to see your faith." What's your excuse this morning? What excuse have you been making in your life and say, this is just it. This is what I got to deal with. Last week, I talked to you in a very practical way and said that even before my faith was there for God to heal Bethany, to heal this baby girl, even before my faith was really had caught up with who I was speaking it. God, I believe. Jesus, I believe that you can do this. Jesus, I believe that you have the power, even when I really didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. My faith wasn't there yet, but I could speak it out. And I promise you, if your faith isn't there yet, begin speaking it over your life. Begin praying it to God. I believe that you can do this. Even though you may not really fully believe it yet, eventually your words will line up with your faith. Eventually my words lined up with my faith. And I think at the men's conference, they collided. And what I was speaking over this life, what I was speaking into healing, the faith came alongside it and said, "Finally, you're there. and I could believe it with every ounce of my being. And when we got that ultrasound result this week, it just exploded with faith. I didn't think I could have that much faith. Or I thought I had enough faith to begin with, and then God wants to do that same thing for you. I don't care how long you've been down with the power of Christ, you are not out. I don't care how long you've been in bondage to something, when the presence and power of Christ is there, you're not out. I came to tell somebody this morning that those of you who've given up a long time ago, it is still possible for change in the presence of our good God. I don't care if it's been 3 months, been 30 years. This is a moment in the presence of Christ can transform everything. For 38 years, that man became more discouraged year after year, became more depressed, became more okay with where he was at, accepting the place that he was in for 38 years. And in one moment, Jesus Christ changed his life for eternity. What's your excuse this morning? What have you been putting off praying for? You have been accepting in your life. Take steps on this earth that match your faith. Pray prayers. Speak it into your existence. By faith, what you don't even believe yet. And God will give you that faith to believe what you're speaking. Bow your heads with me this morning. I believe this word is for someone today. I believe you know who you are. For so long, for years, months, whatever it is, you've justified and you've become discouraged. It's natural. It makes sense. But it's not what God has for you. Today, God is challenging you to have a faith that believes in the long run, for the long term. To say, I believe I serve a big God that can change my life. But even if he doesn't heal it, even if he doesn't change it, even if he doesn't make it well, I will still have faith in that good God that we serve. I challenge you to begin speaking that. Speaking your faith, even maybe before you believe it. Take that first step. Take actions that exercise that faith. If it's your marriage, take actions to try to improve that. Take actions by faith as you're believing in God to intervene. Dear Lord, we come before you today and we say, help us with our doubt. Lord, as we hear testimonies of your goodness, as we hear testimonies of your faithfulness, Lord, you grow and you expand our faith beyond what we thought we could have. Father, we believe in you. We believe that you are all powerful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God that healed this invalid, the same God that parted the waters, the Red Sea, is the same God who can intervene. Father, we ask for that touch from you today. Lord, we ask for your grace in our lives. We ask that you would minister to us powerfully. Lord, take away our excuses. Take away our acceptance of our condition and let us be discontent. Lord, let us have the faith to believe that you can heal. And even if you don't, we will still remain faithful because you are faithful, God. We commit that to you today in your precious name. Amen. God wants to change something in your life today where you thought it was hopeless. I pray you go forth from this place with hope. God bless.